services from estheticians. She wasn't getting that. We will be speaking with John Carpe with the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, who intervened in one of these lawsuits on behalf of an esthetician who said that she didn't know how to do a Brazilian wax on male genitalia. We'll be right back. Stay with us and call us 416-640-0200.
Ontario's grains are farmed by families. Across the province, 28,000 farm families cover 6 million acres of farmland, proudly growing barley, corn, oats, soybeans, and wheat. Whether in our food, fuel, or furniture, every grain brings a natural and sustainable solution to our everyday lives. From the farmers in the fields to the wholesome food on your table, there's good in every grain.
When you listen to Raw Mike Richards, you never know who's going to show up. And now it's time for a Maple Leaf Minute with Morgan Freeman.
Things were certainly very different during his time. And you learn things very quickly. A lot of those new faces back then would leave almost as quickly as they came. Lesson number one, just because you came here, it certainly didn't mean a man was going to stay.
Mike Richards and Dave Bastl are lovers of music.
Some people doubt. Mm-hmm. That angels can fly.
I said music.
Game of Thrones, do 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 do. Game of Thrones, do 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 do. Game of Thrones, do 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 do. Game of Thrones.
Mike and Dave discuss the hard-hitting issues of the day.
You tell me you can't find an actor to do John Tortorella, or you just hire Torts to be in the movie?
Henry Winkler, you hire.
No, Henry's like, can you believe that we actually went this far? I'll be honest, a lot of these players, they're not very good.
Raw Mike Richards with Dave Bastl. Heard exclusively on Newstalk, Saga 960, and also streaming live on Twitch TV.
Family-run, award-winning, delicious.
For 38 years, Michael's Back Door has delivered on those three promises to satisfy diners in Mississauga and across the GTA.
Whether you're celebrating a milestone with colleagues from work, a special night with friends, or just creating family memories, Michael's Back Door will guarantee your visit will not be your last.
Michael's Back Door's award-winning menu will be featuring a special three-course menu during the Taste of Clarkson, running between July 11th and August 11th, and served to you by their very personable and professional staff.
So come on by to Michael's Back Door
and rediscover a classic.
You're listening to News Talk Saga 960. Also streaming live on saga960am.ca.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. A great show. We started off with a conversation with trans woman Jessica Yaniv, who filed multiple human rights complaints, she said, because she was not getting the services that she required. As a Canadian, she went to a number of estheticians, and she said she was refused services. In many instances, however, the estheticians that she filed the human rights complaints against, these estheticians closed their doors, and they couldn't handle the legal process. Jessica indicated that there were other circumstances as to why these estheticians shut down their businesses, but the end result is still the same. These women are no longer working at their businesses because of the human rights complaints. We have John Carpe. He is a constitutional lawyer and the president of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. The JCCF intervened in a case against an esthetician filed by Ms. Yaniv, who wanted a service from the esthetician. The esthetician said that she wasn't experienced enough to do the genitalia waxing, Brazilian waxing. A human rights complaint was filed. The JCCF intervened in that case. Welcome, John Carpe.
I'm glad to be on your show.
Thank you so much, John. We had Jessica Yaniv on earlier. She called in and it was good to hear her side of the story. Essentially, the JCCF intervened in the case of one of the estheticians who Jessica Yaniv had filed a human rights complaint against. Tell us about that case.
Yes, Yaniv filed complaints against more than a dozen women in the greater Vancouver area in British Columbia, and we represented five of the women. The first two women, Yaniv withdrew his complaint as soon as he found out that they had legal representation, but the other three, he did proceed to a hearing, and so those hearings were held on July 4th, July 5th, and the last one was yesterday, July 17th. And at those hearings, we had expert testimony from an esthetician who has a salon that provides waxing services for men. And this woman testified that the procedure for waxing male genitals is very different and it requires different wax. And so the women that Yaniv complained against were not even capable or qualified of providing that service to Yaniv, because Yaniv has admitted on the internet, as well as during the human rights hearings, that Yaniv has male genitals.
And in certainly you made mention of, you refer to Yaniv as he. Yaniv, I would prefer to be referred to as she. So I guess for the sake of our conversation, we'll refer to Jessica Yaniv as she. For the sake of our conversation,
I meant to say Yaniv. Sometimes it just slips out the wrong way. I refer to Yaniv as Yaniv.
Yes,
that's my goal.
This is a very complex case, and the Justice Center felt that these estheticians were being unfairly targeted. Is that your take on the situation?
Absolutely, they were victims of these complaints, because when you have a human rights complaint filed against you, it's an extremely stressful ordeal. We provided the Justice Center provided free legal representation to five of these women, but if there are others that were not aware of the Justice Center and that have paid thousands of dollars in legal fees, there's also women who possibly have paid thousands of dollars in settlement to Yaniv, because what Yaniv was doing was saying to these women, you know, if you pay me $5,000 or $3,000 or $2,000, I will withdraw the complaint. And we don't know how many of the women have succumbed to that, because it's a lot cheaper to pay $2,000 or $3,000 to Yaniv than it is to pay $20,000 or $30,000 to lawyers for legal representation.
And John Carpe, here is my problem. My problem is with the BC Human Rights Commissions and pretty much human rights commissions here in Canada. I would like to see some major changes, because A, you start off with a process where you, if there's a complaint filed against anybody, they're automatically assumed to be guilty. They're facing thousands of dollars in legal fees to defend themselves under a process that is pretty onerous, a legal process you're dragged in. And then in some instances, it's just easier, like you said, to go into your savings, pay whatever you can, and then shut down your businesses. I have spoken to a number of people who have been so badly mistreated by human rights commissions, and they literally terrorize small businesses.
Well, there's a lawyer in Toronto, Jared Brown, who handles a lot of these cases, And what he says is that in most cases, even when the human rights complaint has no basis at all, the business will just opt to write, you know, a $5,000 check or a $10,000 check, because if they try to fight against it, they're going to be out of pocket $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, and it's just not worthwhile. But that's pretty tragic, where you have situations where people are writing a $5,000 check, not because it's the right thing to do, but simply because it's the best business decision, because you don't want to pay $30,000 or $40,000 for a lawyer. So definitely the human rights regime, the laws and the process needs to be reformed to provide some fairness for the people that are facing frivolous complaints.
Quite frankly, it can't happen soon enough. In the case of these estheticians, as you mentioned, with Jessica Yaniv, when I spoke to her earlier, I had said instead of filing human rights complaints against these small business owners and dragging them through a legal process almost to punish them, perhaps it would be best to deal with the esthetician organizations for the trans community to sit with them and talk to them and offer proper training so that an esthetician can do male and do female, so to speak. So in some instances, due to religious backgrounds, some women will not perform services on male genitalia. That's another aspect to this.
The religious belief is definitely part of it. Some of the women have a religious belief that they should not touch any man other than their husband, and that ought to be respected, because that also is because that is a basic human right, to be able to practice and live out your religious faith. But there is also just even for the women that were not religious, there's an issue of comfort. I mean, this is a very intimate procedure. Whether the waxing is done on male or female parts, it's a very intimate service that requires a lot of touching. And it's just wrong to compel women by law to be waxing male genitals, especially when that service is available to Yaniv. There is a salon in at least one that we know of. There could be more. But there is a place in Vancouver where people with male genitalia, whether they identify as male or female, they can get that service. Yaniv has that service available to Yaniv, but this is just targeting women and trying to force women to do something they don't want to do.
I must say, for the record, that I support Canadians of all genders being able to get the service that they require, whether it be esthetician services. Yaniv had mentioned that getting a simple arm wax was something that she was denied. Getting leg wax was denied, not just the genitalia aspect of it. I think there needs to be another approach. Instead of filing multiple human rights complaints and getting $5,000, $10,000, whatever, from these small businesses, these business owners, I think there needs to be a rethink on this, because this, to me, is terrorizing small businesses. I do believe that these human rights commissions are terrorizing small businesses. It's time for a reform. I'm happy that the JCCF at least intervened in a few cases. And in the recent case, the complaint was Yaniv had removed her complaint.
Well, in terms of waxing arms and legs, one of the cases that was, it was the Friday, July 5th, the case that was heard on Friday, July 5th, there's a woman who provides waxing services to other women in their homes, right? Mm-hmm. So she does not have her own salon, mm-hmm. but she will drive in her car and go and provide the service to people where they live. This woman, for safety and security reasons, and I think a lot of women could relate to this, they don't want to go to a house and be alone with somebody that has male genitals, mm-hmm. even if that person happens to identify as a woman. They don't feel comfortable with that. I think that for waxing arms and waxing legs, those services were available to Yaniv, but in almost all of the complaints, there was one complaint where Yaniv said couldn't get arms and legs waxed, but that was a case where there's a woman who's by herself who's going to people's homes, and the woman didn't feel comfortable with that.
Yes,
so there is a salon for Yaniv to get all the services that Yaniv needs, and I agree with you that regardless of how you identify, you should be able to get the services, but those services are available to Yaniv.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And moving forward, John Carpe, with this particular situation, what do you suggest Yaniv should do instead of filing lawsuits, human rights complaints, an expensive legal process, and an onerous legal process against these small businesses? What do you suggest should be done instead?
Well, Yaniv was present before the BC Human Rights Tribunal on Thursday, July 4th, when the expert witness was testifying. The expert witness is a woman who runs a salon that provides waxing services for men. And Yaniv knows who this person is. Yaniv is able to contact this person, and Yaniv can get arms and legs and genitals waxed at that salon. That service is available to Yaniv, and Yaniv knows the name of the person and where that salon is located.
I thank you so much, John Carpe. Can you tell us quickly, what are some of the key initiatives, the key mandate for the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms? What exactly do you do?
Well, we are a registered charity. We get 100% of our funding comes from voluntary donations from Canadians from coast to coast. And what we do is we defend the human rights and religious freedom and freedom of expression for Canadians. For example, we defend free speech rights for students at universities when they're being bullied and censored and intimidated by their student union or by the university authorities.
Yes.
We fight for religious freedom. We have a case in Ontario where an evangelical Christian couple was denied the right to become foster parents or adoptive parents purely because of their religious beliefs about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our cases. So whenever the government is picking on somebody, we provide assistance to that person.
And in the case of Lindsay Shepherd, and I had mentioned that to Jessica Yaniv, who, because of Yaniv's inappropriate references to Lindsay Shepherd, Lindsay wound up getting banned on Twitter. Is there a legal process, any kind of follow-up in terms of getting Lindsay Shepherd reinstated again on Twitter, or is that even important?
Well, it's very important, but unfortunately, Twitter is kind of untouchable because they are a private entity. They are not government, and so they have the freedom to discriminate against. They pretend to be an open platform for all viewpoints, but clearly they're not. Twitter also banned a feminist in Vancouver by the name of Megan Murphy, and the only thing Megan Murphy said on Twitter is that Megan Murphy expressed the opinion that trans women are actually men, and men are men, women are women, And I know that Yaniv disagrees with that, and that's fine. Yaniv has a right to disagree. But Twitter is supposed to be a platform for all views. That's what they say. But in reality, Twitter is not. Twitter is very biased. And right now, it looks like Lindsay Shepherd would not be getting back onto Twitter.
I thank you so much, John Carpe, for giving us your perspective on this whole Brazilian waxing human rights, the multiple human rights complaints against estheticians. I will hope that there is a more amenable way of addressing this issue instead of the Human Rights Commission's shutting down small businesses and small businesses being forced to pony up $10,000 to satisfy a complainant. I would hope that we get past this particular situation. I thank you kindly for taking your time today to give us your perspective. Thank you, John Carpe.
Thank you, Carlene. Talk to you again.
Thanks again. And you're listening to